The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, and as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him. They returned to Jerusalem to look for him, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. We're celebrating our Holy Family today. And that is something that the church in the entire world for about 100 years now has been celebrating. It was 1923, I believe, Pope Benedict XV, who asked and declared for the whole church, the Sunday after Christmas is the Feast of the Holy Family. This year, Christmas is a little backed up. It feels like we were just here, right? And so we're celebrating again this wonderful Christmas image that we have. Christmas is family. Now, the early church, when I say we've been celebrating for 100 years, it doesn't mean that we just started 100 years ago. Actually, from the very beginning of Christianity, there were Christians that celebrated this feast day in a special way. After Jesus is born, we know that they're visited by the Magi, and quickly they have to flee to Egypt because of Herod, who was seeking to destroy the child Jesus. And so they make their way south and a little bit southwest, and they ended up in Egypt there, probably around the area of Alexandria. That would have been, you know, calendars have shifted a little bit, but sometime in the first few years AD. Now the Holy Family returns to Nazareth. Jesus grows up, he does his ministry, his public life. He dies, he rises, and then he sends his apostles out to the whole world to preach the good news. Some of those apostles, probably St. Thomas, along with St. Mark the evangelist, went southwest and brought the Christian faith back to Egypt, you could say. And this was the very early years, around 46 AD, so giving a little history lesson, because those first Christians, today we call them the Coptic Christians, they were the ones who welcomed the Holy Family. For them, it's their badge of honor, you could say. And in fact, when Thomas and Mark arrived, we don't have historical record of this, but it makes sense that there would be people still alive who would have maybe remembered Mary and Joseph and Jesus and their story. And they do have different churches in the area where they think that the Holy Family lived, and so they have a church there, and there's certain shrines along the way from Jerusalem, the different places where the ancient people would pause at an oasis, for example. They have traditions that the Holy Family was there. So those Coptic Christians have been celebrating this feast since their beginning, and the whole church 100 years ago. celebrates now, the Holy Family. I think it would be impossible to probably not emphasize enough how important the family is to Christianity. When I was in Haiti in June of 2011, one of the ministries that we did was to try to go out into the tent city or the different tent cities to bring the good news, to bring also food and medical supplies. And so we would go around the tent cities. And these aren't nice tent cities. After the earthquake, it wasn't like everything was neat and orderly. There were just anything you could find that might be a piece of plastic was put over your head on top of the rubble. So there was just kind of throughout the city, you would come across tents here and there. And there was this one place that had a number of the Haitians had moved to. And it was a very sad kind of ministry because you're now a few months past the earthquake where some of the worst type of malnutrition had started to set in, the cholera outbreak, the contaminated water was starting to also bring a lot of disease and sickness. And as well, in those broken situations, you have a lot of crime and a lot of just disorganization. So it was a kind of not a very happy walk. It was June, so we also had some images of the Sacred Heart that we were giving to the different families because they had lost their homes. So their images of Jesus or crosses, they had lost those as well. What I noticed quickly, though, was anywhere you would find an intact family, a mother and a father with children, there was a little bit different, you could say, atmosphere within that little, you know, tent, if you want to call it a home, right? Those that did not have a family unit, maybe some young teens that were living under a tarp here or separated over there, there was less food, less security, less peace. But where there was a family, there was hope. They were at least trying to rise up out of the destruction. There was a little bit more peace and security within those homes where mom and dad and children were still together despite the brokenness. And I was reflecting on that this morning as just the power of what our families bring. It's there that the early church existed. The first Christians didn't have beautiful churches to go to for Sunday. They were too persecuted. It was too dangerous. So you would gather in the homes of the families. We didn't have a place to keep the Blessed Sacrament, the bread of life. Where did we keep that, the early Christians? It was in the homes of the families. And so the church has always understood that we come from the beautiful heart of Christ who sent his disciples into the world, and it was, you could say, intimately linked to family life from the beginning. And if you think about the story of Christmas, it's not a story just about Mary, maybe Joseph. It's not even, maybe, this might sound funny to say it, it's not even just about Jesus, right? The Christmas story is about family. The hero of the story is a family. Mary and Joseph protecting the baby Jesus, bringing on their journey to Bethlehem, and then fleeing to Egypt, staying together. That was the first Christian church community, the Holy Family. Maybe you could make the case that John the Baptist, right, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. So maybe you could say there were two Christian families, right? But that was the church. And so, my brothers and sisters, this invitation today is to give thanks to God for the blessings that are our families. Where do we learn to love, if not in the family? Where do we learn to know what a father is? We can look to heaven and say, we have our loving Father in heaven. Unless you know what a father is on earth, you can't understand God in heaven. It's in our families that we learn to pray. It's in our families that we learn to say, I'm sorry. We learn what forgiveness is. We learn what it means to make your life a gift for others. Those deeply Christian ideals have their birth in the families, which is why every church in St. Gabriel's is a family of families. And so for that, we give thanks to our Heavenly Father. But there's also many here who have families that have been broken. Or maybe you're separated because some of your family have gone to their eternal reward in heaven, and you're not visibly united. We also know that Jesus came precisely to heal that brokenness. And so we know in our faith, in the end of time, when we're all gathered in heaven, it will be one beautiful wedding feast, celebrating our unity, our love, celebrating life with the Trinity as one big, happy family. And so these weeks and these days, as we continue our Christmas celebrations, obviously, family is important. We gather as families on these days. Let us make sure that in our own family life, we're doing our part, right, to be a member of our families that loves, that forgives, that lets go, that just lives so others can have life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.